Well, my question for us this morning is this. How many of you have ever had a night where you just can't go to sleep? People are laughing at me. Are you kidding me? Like, maybe it was too much coffee. Maybe it was, there's a wide variety of reasons why you can't go to sleep at night. For me, if you're anything like myself, sometimes I'll be lying there and I'll be thinking through, man, okay, what do I need to get done tomorrow? And then all of a sudden there's lists going on and on and on and on. And I'm like doing this huge mental map of all these things that I need to get done. And I'm not able to lay down and simply rest. Any of you with me on that? Experience that on a time or two? Well, today, one of the things that we're going to be talking about is this, rest. And if you've ever had that time where you can't sleep, sometimes there are different things that keep us up. Maybe it's I've made a mistake and I can't go to sleep because I'm trying to figure out how to fix this problem. Or I'm worried about making mistakes. Or maybe it's something where I'm worried about being unwanted or unloved, and I'm trying to figure out, man, why is it that people don't like me? Or maybe I'm not succeeding and I feel worthless, or maybe I'm feeling insignificant, or maybe I just don't have an answer for what's going on in my life right now, and I'm trying to figure it out and wrestle through all this at night. Maybe I'm not knowing what I want out of life, and that bothers me at night. Or maybe I'm fearful of being controlled by other people and there's reasons that I can't go to sleep because I'm worried about how other people interact with and how they interact with me. Wide variety of different reasons on why we can't rest. But David is going to be sharing something with us, and he's going to be talking to us about this aspect of rest. And he's going to make a comment, and he's going to say to us that what we actually need to do is he says this of his shepherd. He says, "My shepherd makes me lie down." And so one of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning is, okay, so a few different questions that come to mind with this. Okay, what does it mean that God actually makes David lay down? Have you thought through that? What does it mean that God makes David lie down? So one of the things that I think can sometimes happen to us is, we'll maybe give this illustration. I've asked Hunter to come up here and join me up here, is what does it mean that God actually makes me lie down? So have you ever thought through that, what it means to be made to lie down? Have you ever been made to lie down?
Yep.
By who?
My mom.
Okay, his parents. His parents have made him lie down. So one of the things that they've told you is lie down. And then give me a physical illustration of what they do. When if I was your parent and I said lay down, what would you do? Okay, now we're actually getting there. Okay, so he'd lay down, right? So did David have this in mind, that God tells me to lay down and I lay down? So I'm kind of like a dog, right? Good boy. No, I'm kidding. Come on up. So is that what God has in mind? He makes me lay down. He forces me to lay down by speaking to me. Or maybe another aspect of what this means is, maybe it means something more like this, that he makes me lie down. Is that what David has in mind, that he makes me lie down? Did you want to lay down then? No, and maybe that's what David has in mind, that there are times when I don't want to lay down, but I'm told to lay down, and it happens by gum, right? So, or is it just something that, do you want to lay down right now? If you want to, that's cool with you. Go ahead and lay down. So sometimes, or is it just more in mind that what he's saying is, I lay down. So that's what we're going to be exploring, one of the questions that I have for us this morning. It's important that we understand. If I understand, go ahead and grab a seat. Give him a hand for helping out. That's right. Thank you, Hunter. Great. That's right. Ooh, man, he's even getting a shout out. So what does David have in mind when he says, he makes me lie down? Is it that aspect that God forces us to do something that maybe I really don't want to do, and I'm forced to lay down? Well, then that even brings up another question. Well, what does it mean to lay down? Is David actually literally talking about me laying down like this? And okay, so what does that mean for me to do in my life to actually lay down? This feels uncomfortable right now laying in front of an audience. I'm not going to lie. Is that what that means? What does it mean to lay down? So one of the things that we're looking at is poetry. It's filled with imagery, and there's figures of speech and other things like that. And I want us to try to help us understand what David's trying to get across for us so that we can obey, so that we can be inspired to worship in a way that David's encouraging us to worship. And the last question would be this. Well, what do you think this produced in the listeners? What do you think they heard? What did it inspire them to do when they heard this statement happen? Does it do anything to you? One of the quotes, and this is actually one of my last slides, Ty, I'm going to bring it up. This guy actually gave a quote, Tremper Longman. He wrote a commentary on Psalms, and it says, "The Psalms inform our intellect, they arouse our emotions, they direct our wills, and stimulate our imaginations. When we read the Psalms with faith, we come away changed and not simply informed." See, that's my heart for us this morning, is that we'd actually walk away changed by this. Wouldn't be just that we encounter and go, "Oh, cool, David said he lays down, great." But I long for, in my heart, I want to be changed by this reality that David's trying to express. And I long for us as a community to be changed by this, because I think it would radically change who we are. So we're going to go into the Psalm 23 and look at it together. As we usually do at Brien, I'm going to have us stand in honor of the word. And we're going to read through this text together. I'm actually going to come down and read it with you as we read Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Go ahead and be seated. So this morning we're primarily going to be looking at this portion of scripture that actually says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. I love it. I love the picture that's being created there. As I think through that, I can definitely see, almost picture in your mind, can you do it with me, of green grass. And actually here in Wyoming, we actually have green grass for another maybe week or two before Frontier Days comes and it burns all away. But we have green grass for a while, and oh man, it's so fun as you watch, and sometimes you can go out and you can see wind sweeping through grass. And there's this picture of David saying that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, what's David trying to get across? What is he trying to express? And that's one of our first questions for us this morning. It says that the Lord made David lie down. It doesn't merely say, "I lie down." It doesn't say, "when I want to lie down." It says, "the Lord made me lie down. He makes me lie down." Now, that's an interesting thought, but it's something that's very common all throughout Scripture. You can see that in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down. Isaiah 13:20 actually says the same thing. It says, "it will never be inhabited or lived in for all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherd will make their flocks lie down there." See, shepherds were pretty judicious in where they let their sheep lay down. He's obviously talking about in Isaiah that there's a place that, look, this isn't a great place. No shepherd would want his sheep to lie down in this area. We even look at the next one, Song of Solomon. This one's kind of an interesting one because there happened to be a Shunammite woman that was hoping to hook up with a certain guy. And she knew where to find this guy. Why? Because there was a place where he commonly made his sheep lay down. And it says in Scripture, "where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon." And sometimes even commentators have made mention that there are certain times that they would actually encourage the sheep to lay down. Well, what can we gather from all of this? Good shepherds are about the sheep. Good shepherds are about the sheep. This wasn't because a shepherd was sitting there going, "man, it is hot and I really don't want to walk any further." I don't doubt that happened for shepherds, especially in that context in Jerusalem. There are some times when noon all of a sudden hits, in certain seasons it gets hot. But this wasn't just about the shepherd needing a rest. This is about him carefully watching over a flock and saying, "they need to rest," and making them lie down. And so this is about a shepherd's care that we're actually getting to know. And it is something that the shepherd is doing. We see that through other contexts in Solomon. You make it lie down. In Isaiah, they will make their flocks lie down. In Psalm 23:2, he makes me lie down. So we think through this whole context that a good shepherd is about the sheep, and he's looking out for the sheep by making them to lay down. But here's the problem that we run into in the text. Any of you ever had a sheep? Ever try to make the dang thing lay down? They don't comply. They're not like my dog. I have a golden retriever. I even say the word lay, even a fraction of the word, and that dog will lay down quickly. Like, it's very, very appealing to this dog to just obey. It wants to please. But sheep aren't exactly like that. So what's the problem that we run into? Sheep aren't like a good dog that sit and lie down when told. Well, then there's a question that comes up to us then. If it says that the shepherd makes him lie down, I think we should ask ourselves a real important question. Well, what's necessary for sheep to be made to lie down? David says, he makes me lie down. Well, what circumstances come about to help a shepherd actually make the sheep lie down? David clearly says this is something that he gets me to do. But how does a shepherd do it? Does he force them? Does he break their legs? Well, break your kneecaps, sheep, you don't lay down. See, there's a very different picture of what's going to happen here. Well, we get a good idea of how a shepherd makes sheep lay down. And that's from a guy that I was reading just the past week. It's Philip Keller. He's a pastor and used to be a sheep herder. He provides firsthand experience of what's helpful concerning this question. I want you to listen very carefully for this. See if you can hear this. There are four things that he says that are required for a sheep to be able to lay down. See if you can capture them, okay? I'm actually going to ask the audience, see if we can poll and see how many people remember this. Here's what Philip Keller says. The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. Did you hear them? Did you hear the four things? What were they? Fear. Good. Friction with other sheep. Parasites. Pests. Good. Hunger. So when we think about that, what are the four requirements? And I have them listed behind just to kind of put them in a different context. Protection. When a sheep knows that it's safe, it will lay down. My wife and I recently got chickens. They're the same dang things. The things don't lay down as long as you are like walking near. My dog sometimes comes along and likes to play with these things. And they move. It's actually kind of funny to watch. But they won't lay down as long as there's a predator or there's fear for its life, for safety. So in order for a sheep to lay down, there has to be protection. They have to know that they're safe so that they can actually lay down. They also have to have peace among the flock. One of the things that I was reading about sheep, there's a guy that ended up getting a sheep that didn't belong to his flock. And they were asking him questions about it. Well, how do you get the sheep to do what it needs to do since it doesn't really belong to you? We've heard that it doesn't listen to your voice. And he said, no, it doesn't listen to my voice. But guess what? It watches other sheep. And it will do what they do. So now we're even starting to think through a social dynamic of sheep. When sheep are fearful, and that's a flock dynamic, sheep can also scatter. They can run off of cliffs together because there's something happening in a group dynamic. There needs to be peace even among the flock. Sometimes ewes can get upset at other lambs and sometimes just walk over and bunk, knock them out of the way. And they won't lay down as long as there's friction that's taking place. Pest free. Very simple to see. Flies, other parasites, they're not going to lay down. And provision. So we see a few different examples of what is necessary for a sheep to lay down. So when we start thinking through this whole idea that David says to us that, listen, he makes me lie down in green pastures. We're getting an idea that this isn't just something that happens by chance. This isn't just something that the sheep wants to just naturally do. This is something that a careful shepherd is going to do certain things to ensure that the sheep actually will lay down and rest. Needs have to be met in order to do so. So a summary so far of what we have. We can clearly see that a sheep needs to be in a place where they feel protected, peace, pest-free, provision. Lying down is something that requires a good shepherd who knows his sheep, one who protects them, one who cares for them. And this then produces a response of being able to lie down. What we see in the passage that would indicate that David has this on mind, is there anything in Scripture from Psalm 20, from 23 that we can see that indicates that? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then what's the next thing that he says right after that? I shall not want. What do we hear from this sheep? I am satisfied. I am content. Why would he lay down? He's content. Why is he content? The Lord is my shepherd. I trust this person who shepherds me so implicitly that it makes me want to lie down. Well, now we have a question. What does it mean to lie down? Does this mean to take a nap? Does this mean to rest? What does David have in mind possibly as he's writing this? Well, let's think about this together. I'll make a quick statement here. Lying down refers to a state of rest physically and emotionally. How can we see it physically? The same word of lie down is used in other places. So rest is a physical thing. Jeremiah 13:12 says, there shall again be habitation of shepherds resting their flock. So as they're wandering through, he's going to provide actual rest when they lie down. That rest is lie down. So it has that idea of actually resting, of coming to a place where there's refreshment. The next one in there, the Psalm 104:22, it speaks of lion as they go out and hunt. Then all of a sudden in the morning, they hunt at night. But when they come in the morning, what does it say they do? When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Why? Physically rest. They need it. We need it. So lie down. What does it mean? Well, it means to lie down. That's a generic look. But it also can mean this. It can also mean to rest emotionally. As we can see in some other passages, sometimes it's a fear that is related to it. So when we look through the scripture, we can see Job 11:15. It says, you will lie down and none will make you afraid. Why is it that this person could lie down? Well, there was none to make them afraid. They didn't have to worry about protection. They didn't have to worry about defending themselves. They could actually lie down and rest. They could lie down and rest because there was this emotional calm that was able to come over them. Isaiah 17:2, the cities of Aurora are deserted. They will be for flocks which will lie down and none will make them afraid. Another passage highlighting that same reality. In Zephaniah 3:12 or 13, that says, those who are left in Israel, they shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. They shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. So when David is talking about this reality of he makes me lie down, we can clearly see that we heard it from a Philip Keller. What do they need? They need to know that there's no fear. And what was maybe in David's mind is literally, I can lie down. I can rest. I can actually close my eyes. And there's nothing to fear. I can physically rest, but I also emotionally can be at rest. I don't have to fear anything happening to me because of who my shepherd is. There's peace. Isaiah 11:6-7 says this, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. In case you're wondering, these animals don't normally lie down next to each other. One's prey, and one's a predator. But what is he getting at with these? He continues on and he says, the lion and the fatted calf together, the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze and their young shall lie down together and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. He's talking about peace. This peace specifically of when Jesus was reigning. When Messiah would come and set up his kingdom, that would happen. That there would be this peace that happens. And just like we noticed that one of the things that would prevent sheep from actually resting is a lack of peace, maybe from one another, or lack of peace within themselves. And so one of the things that may be coming across David's mind as he's thinking through is, man, I can lie down because my shepherd, man, I don't have anything. I can physically rest because I don't have to fear. And I know that he is my peace. Even though everything else is going to craziness all around me, I have peace because of who he is. Well, the next one is satisfaction. I love this one because there's a lot of different pictures that we could look to with this. Genesis 29:2 says, and he looked, and this is back in Abraham's day, and he looked and he saw a well in a field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying beside it, for out of that well the flocks were watered. So what's the picture there? These flocks of sheep had come in and they had been well watered, and what did it cause them to do? Lay down. They laid down. Why? They're satisfied. They have what they need. Maybe in a similar sense, David is looking and he's saying, listen, I can lie down because I'm fully satisfied. I have everything that I need with the Lord as my shepherd. I don't need anything else. I'm content with him. He'll provide for what I need. He'll lead me to green pasture. He'll lead me to still water. He'll lead me where I need to go when I need food. I trust him with all of these aspects of my life. And so David is thinking through a term of lie down. It obviously is something that impacts physically, but also there's an emotional component that he can say, listen, I don't only just lie down, but my heart and my mind can actually lie down because of who my shepherd is. Don't we need that? Don't we desperately need that as people? An ability to actually come to a place where I can rest and come to a place where, like I talked about earlier when I said, how many of you struggle with going to bed at night? Man, I go, man, I can struggle with fear of thinking through, oh man, I have this to do, Oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. I don't even know how to do this. And I find myself at my own insufficiency. And isn't that where the gospel then meets me? That I realize that, shoot, I can't do this on my own. I desperately need a shepherd. I need a good shepherd. I need Jesus to walk with me. And I bring my anxiety. I bring my care to him. And I say, man, this is beyond me. I can't control this. I don't know what to do with this. Help me. And then what Paul talks about, this peace that surpasses understanding guards my heart and my mind as I seek him. So question would be, what made David lie down? What made David be able to actually rest? What made him actually be able to say, he makes me lie down? Was this something where God grabs him by the throat, throws him down on the ground and says, ha, rest? Or is this something that David is reflecting and thinking about the character of God and what he's like and his works all throughout the ages and going, listen, I can trust this God. I trust what he's like. I've seen how he interacted with us as a people, how he led us so faithfully through the desert. He led Israel through the desert. And I can trust a God like that with my life. I trust him implicitly, and I'm going to think thoughts about who he is like that. So it reminds me in the difficulty that I'm facing, I can lay down, and he makes me lie down. Why? Because of who he is and what he's like. And I reflect on that. I meditate on that. I think about that. What made David lie down is trust in the tender care of the shepherd. See, we discussed earlier that an appropriate correlation between us and sheep is that we thrive and we flourish when we're under good care. Remember that? There's one aspect that we can look and say, aren't sheep so dumb? Or we could really just look and concede and say, don't sheep do so well under good leadership and good care? That's the point that Scripture makes so often. We're like sheep, we go astray. Well, what does that reflect? We need good care. We need a good shepherd. And Scripture continually points us back to that good shepherd, encouraging us back to him. David is most impressed with his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David's certain that he has everything that he needs because the Lord, and as we understood, what does Yahweh, what does the Lord mean about his name? It means that whatever the circumstance, whatever they would face, they were going to find a solution with Yahweh. He was going to be the one that would provide for them. He was the one that they should seek. And our hearts are encouraged that same way by David. David is certain he has everything he needs with the Lord as a shepherd. More than having what he wants, more than having being free from any experience of lacking need or deficit, he's affirming that the Lord is his shepherd, and he's content and confident that he will adequately care for him. That's all he's saying. Well, a question to us. How should we respond to a passage like this? What does that do to your heart? What does it do to our minds? As I've been thinking through, this passage has been one that I've continually gone back to. I shared an occasion when we were driving back from Shadron, and all of a sudden we hit a storm in life, and I'm freaking out inside because I have my family with me. And then all of a sudden I'm going, wait a minute, I'm feeding my own fear. I actually like it. It feels comfortable to me. What doesn't feel comfortable to me is to actually turn to my shepherd and say, wait, you are my shepherd. I actually can lie down right now while driving, though not literally. I can lie down in my heart because I can trust you as God to provide for us as a family. I trust you implicitly with my life. And so as we look through this, what would have come to mind for people as this passage? I think people that as they read through this, David and his audience, there would have been other Jewish people that they would have read through this and they would have remembered imagery of God's faithful leading of them like a shepherd through the wilderness. They would have thought of him successfully helping them navigate a desert where they were out of food, out of drink. He even provided for the clothes on their back. And as they were thinking about this, they would think about this image of a shepherd and they would go, wait a minute, he was so faithful in doing that. Man, I remember what he's like. Man, this helps me encounter what I'm going through right now because I remember he took care of us then. We doubted him back then, yet he still did it. And they were able to lay down. The passage would have steeled hearts remembering how he calmed their fears and how their nerves were quieted as he was the one who helped them settle disputes and confidently live as the people that they were intended to be. They were intended to be this people that reflected and shone out and showed what this God was like. And they would go, wait a minute, he's never left us. He's been a good shepherd, even though our hearts have been prone to wander. He's been there all along. When we wandered away, he searched for us and he brought us back and he made us lie down. Minds would have been flooded with imagery of how God's providence and how he had taken care of them. But don't mistake, I think there's also another aspect that people would have thought through with this. See, David's reflecting on God's faithful care. Man, the Lord is my shepherd. I personally experience this. And I shall not want. That's joy. That's life. He makes me lie down, and it's good. I can rest in my soul. Don't we want that? Don't we long for that? Don't we desire that? And I think what he's doing is he's actually encouraging us. You want to know how to lie down? You want to know what actually produces lasting rest? It's with the shepherd. Draw near to the shepherd. Don't draw near to other things. And what this would actually do for people as they're singing this song, if I was a Jew and I was singing this song and singing it maybe with my family, I too would have been confronted with areas in my life that are yet unyielded to God. Wait a minute. No, that's where life is. Life is with Yahweh. Life is with my shepherd. Man, I so want that. I want to come back to that because I enjoy lying down and resting, and I'm not resting right now. I need this passage of Scripture to remind me that this is how I actually lie down. This is where anxiety is squashed in my life. This is where fear is taken care of, next to the shepherd, remembering what kind of shepherd he is and recalling that and meditating on that. So what would have happened? I would have had a need to confess my sin of not trusting him to lead me, to guide me. There would have been a need to repent of trying to live independent of him and on my own. There would have been a need to repent of not resting in him because I've abandoned him and tried to turn to other things to pacify and squash this feeling that is taking over and controlling me in my life. We would have turned to idols. And I would have needed to confess of that. They may have seen in their life how they had wandered from God and missed the gentle and good hand of the shepherd. And this language here would have made them long for the shepherd, wouldn't it? Experiencing life on your own, how many of you just love and go, man, I just so love anxiety. I love fear. I just love cuddling up next to it at night. Just to feel so good. I love feeling unstable in my life. It's so great. It's a wonderful feeling. No. And David singing a song to us, and I think what would happen to an audience is they would go, wait a minute, I want that. I want to lay down. I want to have an ability to actually say, I shall not want, with honesty. Not with saying, oh, life's good. But with honesty saying, I don't have any want. I'm content. I have everything I need with God right now. Yeah, am I miserable in some of these things over here? Yeah, absolutely, but I trust him. He's brought this in my life. He's going to actually bring about change in me through this whole process. I trust him. I can lie down in my heart. And he's encouraging people with a psalm that can encourage them to do the same thing. I'll be honest, as I've read through this, I've reminded myself that I still have a tough time laying down. Please don't take this as a person up here saying, this is what you need to do, because I got this all figured out. I don't. I really don't. I so desperately need the same word to my own life. I see areas in my own life that I'm not willing to lie down, that I still need to trust him to be a good shepherd in my life. I need to see his goodness, his sovereignty in my life. And maybe you too are in that same boat. See, I think what can sometimes happen is that we have this picture of God. And where's the problem in all of this? What's David encouraging us to actually have is this walk with God that looks so different. He's encouraging us toward an image of a shepherd, but maybe this other image is what you have more in mind of what God is like. I'm walking, and I have God with me. He's on a leash. When I want to take a walk, I can put him on a leash. I can take him out with me. I can walk along with him. Life's good. You know what? He's a pretty good well, now I was going to say dog. He's a pretty good dog. He'll bark at strangers. Maybe scare him away. You know what is so great about this relationship that I have is that, man, when I don't want to really necessarily walk with him, I put him back in the yard and I go to work. And then I can come back home, feed him, pet him, and he gives me all the cuddles and loves and affections that I need. And you know what? Family time, it's so great. Sometimes I don't like him jumping all over me and the kids and licking us, and so we can put him outside for a little while and have our meal. And it's so great. I love this relationship. See, I think we fall short of what David is trying to give us a picture of. That's not the picture of what David's trying to draw. Man's best friend, like that. He's trying to draw the picture and the image of a shepherd. A shepherd who never leaves the flock. A shepherd who goes after lost sheep. A shepherd who, when we're weary and we're burdened, what does Jesus say that we can do? Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what does he promise to do? I will give you rest. Rest, that same rest that's being talking about, to lie down, rest. Jesus so desperately wants to give us that rest, but the problem is we don't turn to him. Maybe I have a walk like I'm walking a dog with God. And I love it. He's under control, my control, and it feels really safe. But what David is encouraging us toward is a view of a shepherd who leads us sometimes through dark valleys in our life, but he promises to walk with us. He promises to be there for us. He promises to carry us if necessary. A shepherd who can make us lie down. That's a shepherd that we need to come to. Why? Why do we need to come to that? See, I was wrestling through, why do I, it's so interesting with this psalm when we look through and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Isn't it interesting? The first thing that David focuses on after talking about a shepherd is not, and I go out and I do this for God, and I go out and I do this for God, and I do this, and he wants me to do this. He's saying, the first thing that I love about my shepherd is he knows how to make me lie down. He knows how to make me rest so that I find my sufficiency, my hope, my help through him. Why is that so important? So I don't turn to lesser things. We desperately need that. We're prone to try to take care of our own anxieties on our own and in our own way. But if we're honest, most of the time what I'm doing is I'm up late and I'm trying to solve it. And I look, it's 11. It's 12. It's 1. I think I got a good idea now. Well, that might not work, 2. I think I can fix it, 3. I can't lay down. I can't rest. And my difficulty, and maybe you wrestle with the same thing, that maybe it's we struggle with believing that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he makes us lie down in green pastures. And that's where I need to learn to come to. Come to that. Find peace. Find hope. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Would we be a church that comes and comes often to Jesus? He wants to give rest. He wants to provide relief. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our shepherd. Thank you that we can say confidently that we shall not want. God, it doesn't mean that I don't have things that I think I need or that there are sometimes deficits that I face. Sometimes I find myself where I'm short. I'm short on time. I'm short on finance. I'm short on this, short on that. But thank you, God, that you are a good shepherd. And we celebrate that with you. Thank you for that, God. God, would we come to you and come to you often and remember what a good shepherd you are in your name. Amen.